10 years ago, promising young reporter Bethany Waits vanished when her car plunged off Shakespeare Cliff. Though investigators found blood spatter and torn clothing in the wreckage, her body was never recovered from the churning waters below. Before her disappearance, Bethany had been meticulously investigating a sophisticated VAT fraud scheme worth millions. Her reporting helped convict businesswoman Heather Garbutt, who received a 15-year sentence, while her suspected accomplice, Jack Mason, somehow evaded prosecution. For Joyce Meadowcroft, the newest member of the Thursday Murder Club, this cold case presents an irresistible opportunity to meet her television crush, veteran news presenter Mike Waghorn, who had mentored Bethany. Joyce orchestrates what appears to be a casual dinner meeting, ostensibly to interview Ron for a human interest story. Her plan bears unexpected fruit when Mike, after several glasses of wine, brings up Bethany unprompted. Some new info came to light, Mike reveals, his hands trembling slightly as he shares a text message Bethany sent just weeks before her death. Can't say what, but it's absolute dynamite, getting closer to the heart of this thing. This tantalizing clue sets the Thursday Murder Club on a collision course with enemies who have spent a decade believing their secrets were safely buried. Elizabeth Best and Stephen are abducted and brought before the Viking, a cryptocurrency kingpin whose imposing presence matches his reputation for brutality. Over Earl Grey tea and bone china cups, the Viking delivers his ultimatum. Kill Viktor Ilyich within 2 weeks, or I'll kill Joyce Meadowcroft myself. The civility only heightens the menace. Viktor, once the Bullet during his KGB days, shares a history with Elizabeth that evolved from Cold War rivalry to mutual respect. Now a traditional money launderer, he competes with the Vikings' cryptocurrency operations. Elizabeth remains composed, noting she wouldn't mind dying in such a cozy room, while her eyes catalog everything from the Dickens first editions to her captor's Bulgarian accent. Elizabeth crafts a plan to fake Viktor's death, confronting him with such conviction that Joyce, unaware of the deception, believes Elizabeth has crossed a line. This authenticity is crucial as the Viking monitors their communications through Elizabeth's cloned phone. Later, Elizabeth explains, "I needed your genuine reactions. He had to believe it was real, which meant you had to believe it was real." The Thursday Murder Club traces offshore accounts and shell companies with help from Joyce's daughter Joanna and Cornelius. They uncover a critical flaw in the VAT fraud scheme: payments to various Trident companies connected to Trident Construction, with Jack Mason as sole director. Two suspicious names emerge: Karen Whitehead and Robert Brown, MSC, early payment recipients. Jack's company bought Heather Garbutt's house after her arrest, potentially hiding evidence. During a snooker game, Jack admits participating in the VAT fraud with Heather, but denies killing Bethany. When pressed about her fate, he ominously states, "Oh, she's dead. I know that for a fact." Chris and Donna determine Bethany's car vanished from CCTV because she likely visited Juniper Court, an apartment building with underground parking where makeup artist Pauline Jenkins lives. Ibrahim discovers Karen Whitehead is an anagram of Catherine Howard, the protagonist in Chief Constable Andrew Everton's crime novels, creating an unexpected link to Bethany's disappearance. The team executes Viktor's fake death with precision. After destroying Elizabeth's compromised phone, they sedate Viktor and transport him between CCTV sweeps to a secluded car park. In a fresh grave, they stage the photo shoot. Viktor lies naked in execution position while Pauline creates a convincing forehead wound with powder burns and tissue damage that would fool experts. Their deception unravels when the Viking discovers a bullet hole in Viktor's ceiling rather than his head. His messages to Elizabeth are chilling: "You have made a big mistake," and "the bullet that missed." The Thursday Murder Club realizes someone masterminded both Bethany's disappearance and Heather's imprisonment. Ibrahim discovers Karen Whitehead is an anagram of Catherine Howard, a character from Chief Constable Everton's novels. They trap Everton at Henrik's mansion, inviting him to meet the Viking about money laundering. The conversation streams through Fiona's hacked Instagram as Everton offers $500,000 plus protection and admits conceiving the scheme while writing. As the investigation progresses, surprising personal connections emerge. Donna begins a relationship with Elizabeth's associate Bogdan, their romance blossoming amid murder discussions, yet providing her rare feelings of safety and contentment. Ron develops an attraction to Pauline Jenkins, the makeup artist connected to Bethany's case. Their relationship evolves from his TV appearance through unexpected dates, including a couples massage he pretends to dislike but secretly enjoys. Mike Waghorn reveals Bethany helped him come out as gay, stating, "She refused to let me feel shame." Even the antagonists show complexity. The Viking discusses cryptocurrency with Joyce, while Connie forms a genuine therapeutic relationship with Ibrahim despite her threats. Most poignant is Stephen's cognitive decline. When Bogdan suggests chess, Stephen admits, "I've never been the chess player. Elizabeth was." A heartbreaking moment that captures dementia's reality while preserving his dignity. When Henrik asks why they stopped the fraud scheme, Andrew admits a journalist was getting too close and she died. Though initially denying involvement in murders, Victor, posing as Yuri, the Viking's associate, eventually extracts his full confession. "I murdered Bethany Waits." The setup brilliantly manipulated Andrew psychologically. Elizabeth knew his ego would drive him to confess to gain the Viking's trust and take credit for his crimes. By appealing to his vanity, they created a scenario where he convicted himself before millions of viewers. In a stunning twist, Pauline had discovered Bethany's secret. Analyzing CCTV footage and noting Bethany's unusual attire that night, she realized Bethany had faked her death using a mannequin. She remained silent, knowing Mike would be devastated. This is confirmed when we meet Bethany, now living as Alice Cooper in Dubai. While investigating the VAT fraud, she'd learned enough about money laundering to access the funds herself. After Andrew threatened her and bugged her phone, she diverted his money and faked her death. At its heart, The Bullet That Missed celebrates friendship in life's later years. The Thursday Murder Club members face dangers with humor, grace, and unwavering loyalty. Elizabeth risks herself to protect Joyce from the Viking, drawing on decades of spycraft. Ibrahim's prison visits to Connie demonstrate his belief in redemption even late in life. Everyday moments prove equally powerful. Pauline adjusts her pace for Ron's bad knee. The group preserves Stephen's dignity through his dementia by finishing sentences discreetly. The novel's most touching moment comes when Elizabeth realizes Joyce has become her first true best friend, a fundamental connection discovered in her 70s. In an era fixated on youth, these characters embrace life's challenges with wisdom and resilience. They take risks, forge new connections, and find renewed purpose, proving that curiosity, courage, and human connection aren't bound by age.